Which is better, to live or to die? Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 26. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. This question, which is better, to live or to die, seems like an easy question to answer. We all understand that the correct answer really depends upon the perspective of the situation. And of course, we normally assume that if a person is very elderly and their health is very bad, then it would be better for them to go on to be with the Lord than it would to suffer. But that would be about the only circumstance that we would ever say that it's better to die than it is to live. I think we can say that it depends upon what you are. Not necessarily who you are, but it depends upon what you are. By that I mean, are you a child of God? If you're not a child of God, then the worst thing that can happen to you would be that you die. Are you a child of God? Are you committed to the principles of the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus Christ? Does your living in this world make a real difference? If these things are true, that is, if you're saved, you're scripturally baptized, you're committed to Jesus Christ, you love to study, you love to serve Him, and your life makes a difference. That is, His New Testament church is stronger, and your living makes a difference. You're living for the Lord, and you're living on this earth really makes a difference. Then you're ready. You say, ready to die? No, ready to live. You see, we usually assume that if you're real close to Jesus Christ and you really have assumed a lot of responsibility, you love the work, you have love for the Lord, you have a real commitment, you have a real time of preparation that you've made, then you would say, I'm ready to die. No, you're ready to live. By that, I mean that we usually think, well, it's time to get close to the Lord, so because I may die. But that's the wrong way to look at serving God and getting close to God. If we're what we ought to be, we're prepared to live and throwing out all of our bad habits and starting to church and Sunday school and starting to give our money and starting to pray and starting to read the Bible. That's not the preparation we make for death. That's the preparation we make for life. And I think this is what Paul is really talking about. He says, I have a great desire in verse 20. He mentions the fact that he has an earnest expectation. Now this word expectation comes from a word that means to look away towards anything with the head bent forward. Now, when you see someone who's looking forward, bending forward and looking, that generally indicates a real interest in something. And Paul says, I have an earnest expectation. I have a hope. And this hope is based upon an expected good thing. Here's what he states. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that is, in nothing I shall be ashamed. And this word ashamed means the feeling that attends the doing of a dishonorable deed. You know, when you do something wrong and we say your conscience bothers you, Paul said, I don't want that to happen. I have an earnest expectation. I have a hope that in nothing I will be embarrassed or made to feel guilty. That is, in all boldness, as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or death. Now, oftentimes we look at these scriptures and we say, now, Paul is saying that life is a burden, and really he wishes now that he could just go on and be with the Lord. Really what Paul is saying is that I have this great desire. I have this earnest expectation. I am bent forward, and I am looking with expectancy. And I am assuming that, like always, I will not do anything to make me feel guilty and embarrassed, but that I will always have a boldness, no matter what is happening, so that whether I die or whether I live, Christ will be magnified. Christ will be made larger. Or Christ will be praised because people will be able to see him in me. So Paul is really saying, now the greatest thing I want to do is to die and go and be with the Lord. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the thing I want to happen more than anything else is that Christ will be magnified by my body or in my body, whether it's a living body or a dead body. Life or death. Which way will Christ be magnified the most? But he said, it's my desire, more than anything else, to magnify Christ, whether I live or whether I die. Now he states his great dilemma in verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I believe this is what Paul is saying, that if my life is to be lived for Christ, then dying for Christ is an advantage for me. If living for Christ is good for me, then dying for Christ will be to my gain. For me to live is Christ. And I think there's some other thought there that we ought to consider. And that is, Paul considered this, that as long as he lived, Christ was living. As long as he lived on earth, Christ was living on earth. That's the only way Christ can live on earth today, is for him to live in you and me. And if Christ is not lived in you, if Christ is not lived in me, then Christ is not living on earth. It is through you and me, through people, through humans, that Christ lives. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And since that is true, then to die would also be beneficial. What he's saying is that whether I live or whether I die, if I do it to magnify Christ, then it's beneficial. That living is not a dead-end street if you do it for Christ. That dying is not a dead-end street if you do it to magnify Christ. So whether I live or whether I die, if living magnifies Christ or dying magnifies Christ, then there is gain. We have an advantage. Now notice that Paul states, if, however, my being alive means fruitful service. Now notice, he qualifies this, for me to live is Christ. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not, or I really don't know. Paul is saying, I'm not saying that I simply want to live biologically, that is, to breathe in and out and to exist. He is saying, if I can live a fruitful life, doing good and accomplishing something for Jesus Christ, that is the alternative to dying that Paul would choose. I think Paul is saying, I don't want a life on this earth. I don't want to live if I can't serve. I don't want to live if I can't be busy. I don't want to live if I can't contribute something to the cause of Jesus Christ. Now the alternatives, Paul said, I really don't know what to ask for. And I think he's talking about asking for in prayer. Now look at this. The choice is not between just expiration, you know. Paul is saying, if I can live a life of fruitful expectation, that is, a life of dedication and service, if I can keep on preaching the gospel, if I can keep on witnessing, or the alternative of that is dying and being with Christ, and this would be a gain. But he's not simply saying that I'm living on the earth. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, if I live in the flesh and if I have a fruitful labor, that's really what Paul is saying. If my labor can be fruitful, I want to enjoy seeing something bear fruit that I have put my time and my energy into. And Paul seems to say, now, if I can't have that kind of life, then it wouldn't be any problem to choose. I'd choose death just that quick. But if I can have fruitful labor, or if I could choose death, then Paul said that presents a problem, because he understood how necessary fruitful labor was. He said, now that presents something for me to think about. And he comes up with this kind of decision. I'm in a strait betwixt two. That is, the desire to break camp, and that's the word depart literally means, to break camp. Very colorful expression of going and being with the Lord. You know, we're said to be tenting and tabernacling in this life, and this word that's translated depart here, he said, I have a desire to depart, and that literally means just to break camp. Isn't that a wonderful way to look at death? Just a breaking of camp, breaking up this camp here on this earth and moving into a better place in heaven. Now Paul said, I have a desire to break camp and to be with Christ, which is far better for me. But he said, you need me. The people to whom he's writing, to the Philippians, he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Oftentimes we think that our life, our physical, biological life, is to benefit us. My physical, biological life is for my benefit. It's my life. You ever heard that? It's my life. That's not the Christian attitude. We are bought with a price. And our lives, now you listen to this, our lives, our breathing and our living ought to benefit others more than it benefits us. In other words, when I die, there ought to be a gap left in those things that really count, because I ought to be contributing to the work of God. You remember in the book of Ecclesiastes, it speaks of a man who said, I've gone out to the cemetery and I've looked, and he said, there are people who have come and gone from the holy place and they're soon forgotten. Literally, what this means is that there were people who attended regularly the temple worship services, who went in and out of the tabernacle of God, and when they died, no one missed them. The church didn't miss them. Now that is a terrible legacy to leave. I remember one time, I just accepted the pastorate at Cave City, which is not a large church, but it had been there for quite a long time, and though they had around 200 or so in attendance, they had about 500 names. Many teenagers had been saved, and they'd leave to go to the army or to work, and maybe they didn't move their membership. But anyway, a man who had lived in the community for all of his life died. And there was a question raised, is that man a member of that Baptist church? Somebody said, I think he was. I said, well, I don't know whether he was or not. He said, I don't know what he was or not. You know, that people were talking, now they said he was down at the funeral home. You know, they said he was a member. That family said he was a member of First Baptist Church. Well, somebody said, I really don't think he was. Somebody said, well, let's call the church clerk and ask her. Now, friends, if they have to call the church clerk when you die to find out if you're a member of this church, you're in bad shape. You don't have much of a testimony, did you know me? And you know, everyone was doing this so seriously. Now, was he a member of this church? Well, I'm just not sure. Let's check it out with a church clerk. That's not the kind of life that Paul was talking about. He said, as long as I live, it's better for you. It's better for you because I'm a part of you, and it's better for you that I live than that I die. And that's the kind of relationship everyone ought to have in a New Testament church. That is, as long as you live, Christ is living, and there's a vital relationship that if God took you to heaven, the church would be less. And that's pretty good insurance too. You think about that. You know, that if your life really counts for the Lord, I really think he'd want to leave you here longer. That's pretty good insurance. For me to live is Christ. As long as I live on this earth, Christ lives. And I have this earnest expectation that I will never do anything in life or in death that will cause me to have guilt feelings or shame the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, whether I live, let me live victoriously. And if I die, let me live victoriously. But Lord, don't just leave me here without letting me enjoy the fruit of labor. Now I can understand better, can't you, what Paul was talking about? It wasn't just a matter of dying, or wasn't just a matter of living. It's for Christ that Paul wanted to live or die. Will you stand with me as we sing our hymn of invitation tonight? And as we sing, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't been saved, if you haven't committed your life to Christ, then trust Him. Believe in Him. If you're here and you need to come for baptism, you need to move your church membership, you do that while we sing.